What's happening,
Yeah,
man?
Michigan in the house.
Dude, that took a while. We were fucking with that forever.
It's really not a problem, man. This is awesome, to be honest with you. I was excited when you got in touch with, when you reached out to me, man, because I'm always looking to throw down on a podcast with some tree guys, man.
Sit down, Lucas. Quit messing with it.
Gotta fix some shit.
No, you don't sit down.
Hey,
How was
Lucas. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, as well, man.
He's trying to shake your hand right now, Lucas, but you're underneath the desk messing around.
I'm trying to keep business organized.
Yeah, the life of an international celebrity. I get it. I totally get it, bro.
It's tough.
Yeah, don't be so humble. Dude, yeah, man, I thought it was cool when you mentioned the second generation arborist topic. I really like the focus of that. I'm always looking to, sort of like, well, I don't know about looking for, but like thinking about how cool it is to work with family sometime. Or maybe not work with family, but at least inherit the trade from them. You know,
Sometimes it's not that cool working with families.
right. I'm sure that it has its ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys are both second generation arborists.
Luke is more than I am.
Well, Lucas, I guess talk about how you got into it. You know, like what were you super young, or was it kind of like an on and off thing, or one, or you know?
Yeah, no, so my dad worked for the Davy T Tree Company before I was born, and he left the tree company. There was a change in ownership. He left that tree company in 82 and started Woodland.
Right.
So
You guys both work for Woodland?
yeah,
Okay.
we both Lucas's dad Bill is the owner, Bill and Julie, his wife, and Julie runs the office, and Bill does bids, and Lucas and I both do bids and run crews every day.
So what is it? Two crews total?
Sometimes three.
Right.
Yeah, we have eight guys total.
So Lucas, did your old man teach you how to climb?
Yeah, he sure did. He taught me how to climb. You could say that.
So does he like always try and steal your thunder?
He's pretty humble about it. But we started out back in the day, and I don't know if we were just ignorant to it, or if we, the techniques weren't there. But we started out back when you cut false crotches in the tree and
Yeah.
rigged it out the
Yeah,
hard way.
man. How about okay, so you're I mean okay, perfect point. You know, you sort of learn that way, but I mean you're arguably one of the best climbers in the world if you were to quantify it by your competition achievements. And you're obviously a very skilled arborist, you know, day-to-day production. You know, talk about those things that you learned prior to all the advancements and maybe how it impacts the way that you climb now with all of the modern tools. Do you feel, you know, that understanding runs really deep in your experience? So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like today we climb trees with rope. Back then we climbed trees and we came down on the rope. Definitely a change in dynamic and approach of access into the tree.
Right.
I never did start out it with spurs. We always, live trees, prunes, we did without spurs, but we
Right.
were not tied in 3 points of attachment, quote unquote. and, you know, shinny boy.
Right.
Two hands and feet, right.
No. No, that's it. Joe, you're in an interesting situation. The standard is held high, I'm sure, there. You know, how has it made you a better climber, better arborist, all around? I'm not just saying climber, but I mean, well, here's a question to lead into that. Do you guys, what do you guys do? Do you do a lot of preservation? I mean, Lucas, do you do any consulting, report writing? Is that a part of what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to focus on tree care, not tree removal. Of course, tree removal comes along with it. Along with the tree assessment comes the big nasty trees that need to come out. So,
I would say, I mean, we do a lot of removals. We do a lot of big removals that are down by lakes that are no access, no crane access. They're full by hand removals.
Sure.
A lot of, we have to ball card out too. I mean,
we're
doing it the old way. A lot of stuff just because we can't get equipment down in some of these places.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, I know that, I mean, crane-assisted removals, that's popular. I mean, you see online, everybody's hanging on a crane ball, and it is awesome.
The
level of production when you're running hot, I mean, you guys know how it is. But, yeah, I think that, too, it's very challenging to rope stuff out. You know, when there's all sorts of unmovable targets underneath the tree. And it's nice to have those days to look forward to. You know, I do think that the anxiety levels are high in both situations, whether you are doing crane work or you're doing some technical rope rigging and stuff like that. But, Joe, talk about how long have you been with Lucas, and how have you improved as an arborist from working with him and from learning from that sort of that legacy of arboriculture?
So I'll start at the beginning. My uncle moved back from California when I was 10, and I worked with him through middle school and high school. He's a tree climber. He still climbs every day. He's about 60.
Right.
And right here in Michigan. And so then I went to college. I worked at a tree place in Ohio. Some hat guys. You know, it wasn't awesome. I'm lucky to live through it, and just like all of us. And
sure.
Then I started working for a large removal company that ran 5 3-man crews every day. I did that for about 5-6 years. I've been a professional arborist for 15-16 years now.
Right.
And I came to work with Lucas and Bill at Woodland almost 2 years ago now. And I have stepped my game up, man. I mean, Lucas is fast. I really try to keep up. He's real fast. I'm always excited when I can get a shot before him, you know.
Oh, yeah, I could imagine. You guys are probably throwing 20s on the tailgate. I know how it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that that sort of atmosphere – I don't know, man. I mean, I will say, you guys probably know this too. It is very competitive. I think that that's one of the, you know, I think a lot of people talk about competition in the sense of, oh, well, you know, we're trying to beat the guys in the pickup trucks and everything like that. Or, you know, you hear that cliche all the time. But guess what? It is a reality, you know, and you're constantly going to have to deal with it. And on the consumer end, you know, when there's a lot of guys doing it, it drives the price down. And so I think you do hear a lot of times, you hear about, well, this guy's so fast and that guy's so fast. And it is a fine balance, because I do know that you can't lollygag and expect to price it out right and to price it to win, because there's always someone lower and you got to be competitive. And, you know, so how do you guys balance speed and safety? You know, I mean, it is a real thing. And, you know, sometimes we have to, check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, so to speak?
That's a hard question, TC, because, yeah, there's that fine line between speed and safety, but safety trumps, I mean, safety sure. trumps a lot. The speed thing comes with the longer you've been doing it, the more effective you are. I'm not the fastest guy out there by far. There's plenty faster guys. I can't footlock. I mean, I'm doing this a while. I hip thrusted trees for 15 years almost. That was my mode of access. You know, I think that safety thing, that safety is key. We do safety meetings, tailgate meetings every week for about an hour. We really work at it. Lucas and I have been doing a lot of training lately. Lucas more than me.
Right.
We've been really working at stepping our safety game up, wearing chap pants in the tree, because that's the most likely scenario that I'm going to get cut is in a tree.
Yeah. You know, I can see, you know, and especially, I mean, given certain situations, I mean, you guys have cold winters. I could get down with wearing chaps when it's a real windy day as an extra layer of protection, just as from a efficiency standpoint. But, you know, I do think that to be overly safe is good practice. You know, especially if you have a tendency to forget about it sometimes, it sort of establishes a good culture. And when that's around all the time, it sort of even creeps into your subconscious. And I think that's really, you know, an important thing is to have it there because, hey, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget about it. Guys get tired. You know, some things are going on outside of work. Their mind isn't always in it, you know, and I think it's a lot to ask of people sometimes. And, you know, you have to be respectful of that line. And, you know, I'm always thinking about it. How can I be safe and yet still be highly productive and still be a competitor in my market? You know, I think it's a realistic consideration. And I always like to hear others' opinion on the matter. But
So Bob Lovers, you know Bob.
Yeah. I was just with Bob just this past weekend down in South Carolina.
Southern Chapter, yeah.
Yeah, man.
He asked me a few years ago. He said, Joey, he said, what's the most, and this is when I was working for another company. He said, what's the most important part of your company? And I you know, just like anybody, safety. You know, I'm pushing safety every day. He said, wrong. He said, it's morale. He said, without safety or without morale, you have no safety or production.
Right.
And morale is huge. You got guys coming into work that have bad attitudes, that aren't like in life, have outside influences and attitudes are contagious. You know, we talk about that a lot, you know, because they will. One guy will ruin the rest of the attitudes for the rest of the guys every day.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. That's a great topic. Just attitude alone. You know, sometimes it's a really hard thing to maintain, you know, and I think when you're drilling it, when production is high and you're getting drilled with it, man, sometimes you do just want to get away from it. I think the hours outside of work are just as important as the hours at work. I think that, you know, I do believe that you can spend more quality time. You know, I definitely have days where I feel like maybe not that I'm wasting time, but you know, I really think that when you can micromanage your day to operate at your utmost efficiency, you know, sometimes hours are overrated. There's a lot of things and attitude. I think attitude is at the foundation of that. You know, you have a positive attitude, you have guys ready to roll, man. People want to work with people like that. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
But let's be honest. It's hard to maintain. It's hard to maintain because life happens. Life happens, man. Life happens, right? I mean,
you were talking about the new gadgets and the new gear we got not that long ago. I forgot all my stuff in my wife's car. She dropped me off at work, and I had to throw a saddle, one rope, a buck strap, and a saw rope together and work all day. You know, it's what you have to do when you don't have nothing. That's what we always had before.
Yo, so, life is hard up in Michigan, bro.
It is.
Life is hard.
It's cold there.
So listen, I've developed a fun little game, and you guys are going to be my guinea pigs. This is the newest the newest addition to the Arb Life podcast, and it's a little game show entitled Arbora Quiz.
Oh, okay.
So what it's going to be is Lucas Drews versus Joseph Smith.
He's going to win. That's not fair.
And you each need to answer 5 multiple choice questions from the ISA Certified Arborist Workbook.
You put us on the spot here, TC. Okay.
Yeah, I know. And I'm so excited because I'm going to grill you guys and we're going to see how you do. And then the whole world will know who the champion is.
I bet it's Lucas. I'll give it up right now.
All right, so listen. So here we go. Lucas, you're going to start. And I'm going to pick for you Tree Identification, Chapter 2.
I thought you had this together, TC. Let's go.
Well, I have to go to the back of the book, to the workbook section.
You don't have the answer? You don't? Come on. I thought.
Don't even go there. Okay, here we go. Okay. Chapter 2, sample test questions.
Are we helping you study, TC?
No, dude, you know I'm certified, man.
I know, I'm just...
You know I bring the heat. All right, Lucas.
Yes, sir.
When two leaves and or buds are located at the same node on a twig, the arrangement is called...
Opposite.
Wow, didn't even have to read off the options.
Don't make me look bad.
Oh, sorry, I forgot it was multiple choice.
The champ is here. All right, Lucas, one question correctly answered. Now, Joe, how about tree nutrition and fertilization?
That seems like a harder spot.
It is, because I'm going to grind you out, dude. I'm going to grind you right out. All right, here we go. Let me find the questions here. Okay. Okay, number 2. No, I'm sorry. Number 4. This is even better. Fastigit trees have a growth form that is A, upright, B, weeping, C, overarching, or D, vase-shaped.
Weeping. No?
Time out. Wrong.
Ah! It's upright. It's vase-shaped, isn't it?
Now, wait, time out here.
Yeah, you gotta get your shit straight here, or stuff straight here.
No. Actually, Joe, this is weird because so I thought it was upright, but the answer key that I'm looking at here has it listed as weeping, B.
Whoop, whoop.
In which case, you are right. But that doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know if you got that on a technicality or not, but you got to run with it any way you can get.
Is that a new book or is that an old one?
No, this is like from 87. You know how we do, bro. Okay, Lucas. Your next question will be plant health care.
He's good at this one. Yeah, watch out.
Plant health care. Okay. Chapter 11. Let me get the right key here. All right, here we go. Ooh, wow. Interesting. Interesting terminology that you don't always come across.
Let's do it.
The mortality spiral describes a process of infection and spread of disease in a tree, b cumulative effects of stress causing decline of a plant, c process in which pesticides eradicate both pests and beneficial insects, or D, allocation of resources between growth, storage, and defense.
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with C.
I think it's B.
Okay, time out. C, process in which pesticides eradicate both pests and beneficial insects. Morality spiral. And the answer to the question is that's wrong, Lucas.
Oh.
It's B, isn't it?
Joe, it's B.
The
mortality spiral describes the cumulative effects of stress causing decline of a plant. The answer is B. Lucas, have answered.
Wrong and I got it right. Does that count?
Joe, that's not how it works, my friend.
I don't get that one?
No. Absolutely not. You need to answer your own questions. Lucas, you have answered your second question incorrectly. Okay, Joe.
Yeah.
We're gonna go right to pruning here.
Oh, this is good.
We're gonna go right to pruning. Okay.
This is great.
Let me get to the questions. Okay, here we go. When it comes to pruning, as a rule, mature trees are A, more tolerant of extremes than young trees, B, capable of tolerating heading, C, not tolerant of severe pruning, or D, unlikely to produce water sprouts.
C.
Now wait,
because the answers have been a little silly in the key.
Oh, see.
Well, your book is from 1952.
I don't even know what question I asked you now. I got to look it up again. See how prepared I am here? Okay, now we're going.
I'm gonna write this down next time.
Four. You've answered correctly. You have answered your second question correctly.
Yeah.
you guys know you're on the same team anyway. You're eating this up.
you need to get Stefan and Corey to do this.
All right, Lucas. Installation and establishment. Question three.
Let's hear it.
When planting a container-grown tree.
That's the wrong answer to start with.
Wow, taking it to a whole new level. Hey, separate and tease apart the roots to reduce girdling root formation.
True. B,
place soft fill in the bottom of the planting hole to encourage taproot growth. C, backfill the hole with a soilless growth medium to encourage root growth.
He's laughing, he can't even.
Or D, none of the above.
Wow, yeah, we're going to go with A on that one.
And since you have gone with A, you have chosen the correct answer.
Oh,
yeah.
Lucky me.
Nice job.
I still won't plant a container to grow trees.
All right, I'm going to go. Oh, here we go. Let's go with Let's go with diagnosis and plant disorders. Yeah. Yeah, let's go in there real deep and get a nice one for you, Joe.
Go in there deep, TC.
All right. Chapter 10. Oh, yeah. I got the one for you. Let me get to my answer key here.
It's not a question about crepe myrtles or something stupid, is it?
No, no. I would never hang you out to dry like that. I'm looking for the number of the chapter. I think it's chapter 10.
Your wife probably thinks you're crazy, just like ours.
Oh yeah, 100%. Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt. But hey, we're learning. Learn something new every day.
Thank goodness I know what the mortality spiral is now.
Yeah, take that to the safety meeting on Friday. Yeah. All right, chapter 10. I'm right in it here. Joe.
Yeah.
Scale damage to plants.
Ooh.
Is the result of A, fungal spore growth depleting xylem reserves. B, phloem feeding insects causing a loss of vigor. C, vascular damage from fungal invasion. Or D, a physiological disorder due neither to insects nor disease.
B.
Yep, you hammered down on it and you got it. Third question answered correctly.
What Lucas, was the score again? I just
Lucas,
saw the picture.
Not to try and get into your head, but the heat is on, my friend.
No fucking handle it.
If I win, he's going to make me do some nasty stuff tomorrow. Joe, go find this 200-foot white pine.
Hang on a minute. Oh, tree support and protection systems.
Ooh.
Yes. The ultimate category. The ultimate hard man category.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can make arguments for any of the above.
I know a guy that's a certified arborist that has never climbed a day in his life and got 100% on tree support and lightning protection. So
so you could take that to the safety meeting too.
Yeah, right? He's a terrestrial arborist.
All right, here we go.
Got for me.
When cabling a multi-stem tree, extra support can be added to the system by A, cabling the limbs together in triangular combinations, B, using double cables on each leg. C, installing the cables low in the tree with turnbuckles that can be tightened from the ground. Or D, all of the above.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Let's go with A.
The old triangulation for the win, my friend. Woo. Fourth question. Cruising by. All right, Joe, we're going to have to make you work for this one, buddy.
You gave him the easy cable question.
Oh, here we go. Chapter 14, safety, your specialty.
I did not.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, this is an interesting question, actually. Which of the following should be treated first? A, severe bleeding. B, suspended breathing. C, poisoning. Or D, heat stroke.
Just out of curiosity, these all happen at the same time, right?
Severe bleeding, A.
Poor guy.
You're right. Yeah, that's a hard question, TC. That's,
I know, and it's an interesting question. And
we just did first aid CPR training on Monday.
So your answer was A, severe bleeding?
Yeah, if they bleed out, they're done. That's it.
That answer is wrong.
What? What is it?
The answer is B, suspended breathing.
Really?
Yeah, and I believe that the reason is because suspended breathing maybe only for a few moments can cause brain damage.
But they don't teach breaths anymore when they do CPR. It's just compressions. How does that work?
You know, I really don't know.
I tied it up just so we can have the photo finish on the fifth question.
I know. That was beautiful.
That's a trick question. You can't have all those at the same time.
But.
That's a good question.
By all considerations, you know, that may have been one of the best questions this round. But unfortunately, you answered it wrong, and now you're both tied going into the fifth question. So let's let the games begin, gentlemen.
Better pick a good one.
Oh yeah, you know what?
Not too easy cabling question.
No, let's go right to tree biology. First chapter in the book. Pretty hard to get by the first chapter in the book.
Right on.
Tree biology. Okay. Okay. Okay, here we go. The growth rings of a tree, A, are visible because of the rapid growth of early wood relative to late wood. B, can be counted to approximate the tree's age. C, can give information about growing conditions in previous years. Or D, all of the above.
Yeah, that's gotta be it.
A?
D.
Oh.
Going D.
I thought for sure you had answered wrongly.
No.
But no.
It is A, actually. It's A, B, C,
A. I heard A. I heard A.
That is that is correct. That is correct. And one, well, I think one of the coolest aspects about that question is C can give information about growing conditions.
Oh yeah, fat rings, cool. Fat ears.
I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. All right,
Joe. I'm gonna take a second and pretty much try and find the hardest question that I can.
What's gonna be the tiebreaker here?
Oh, you know what?
Wanna wrestle?
No, head-to-head footlock.
Yeah, I already told you I can't.
Except, Joe, you only have to go 10 feet, and Lucas, you got to run the whole 49 point whatever it is.
I'm up for it.
They changed it.
Oh, you know what? Let's do water management.
Oh, great.
Let's do water management. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. I should be a little more organized the next time I do the quiz, but you know what? There's a first time for everything, and everything has a learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. A soil field. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Let me rephrase. A soil is at field capacity when A, it is completely saturated, B, the permanent wilting point has been reached, C, gravitational water has drained away, or D, there is no water available to the roots.
It's A.
It's not A. A soil is at field capacity when all of the gravitational water has drained away. And I just want to double check that.
Yeah, you double check that.
It's the reality. The reality of the situation is that Lucas Drews is the first ever champion of Arbora Quiz.
Wow.
Somebody's got to win.
And you've heard it for the first time ever here on the Arb Life podcast.
He told me I was fired if I didn't throw that last question.
I know. Joe, I know you're getting bullied around up there, man.
Dude, have you seen his hands? Come on now.
Hey, listen, I really think that's a good place to sort of wrap things up, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to get in touch with me and get the technology to do this. I just want to say thank you. This podcast has been brought to the viewers by you two and the wonderful people at Woodlawn are sponsoring it, whether you guys knew that or not.
Woodland.
So where are you guys located? Where are you guys located at?
Rockford, Michigan.
Rockford, Michigan and surrounding areas, if you are listening and you want some of the best arborists in the world, you know who to call.
It was nice talking with you, TC.
Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. Let's do this again, and let's stay in touch. I really want to try and make it to Tree Jam Camp. I'm going to try. Are any of your people going to be at Pendel Symposium this coming week?
I'll be there, man.
All right, Lucas, I'm going to stop by. I'll drop by, and we'll have a coffee or something, a donut or something, and we'll catch up. I really appreciate it, guys. Have a safe Friday, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds great.
Later on, TC. Have fun, buddy.
See you guys.